All right, well, we have been walking through this series called Adventures in Faith, Living a Life of Greatness. We're going through the book of Daniel. So this morning we're entering into Daniel chapter 9. You know, as we left Daniel last time in the end of chapter 8, we have this description of him. It says, "Then I, Daniel, was exhausted and sick for days." He had just seen a vision about the future of his people. And frankly, it was horrifying to him. The vision revealed that the people of Israel were not only going to go through the hard time that they were already in, but God was going to bring them out. But then in the near future, they were going to go through another tough time. But hang in there, because God's going to bring you through. And then way in the distant future, you're going to go through an even harder time. But hang in there, be patient, trust God, because He's going to see you through. And what we saw from that vision in chapter 8 was we can hope in the same thing, can't we? How many of you would say you're going through a hard thing right now? You're going through some stuff. I just want to encourage you. Hang in there. God's going to bring you through. And if you're not going through the stuff, just wait a couple weeks, and you're going to go through something. And let me encourage you. Just as God has brought you through, He's going to bring you through again. And just as God, maybe 5 years from now, you're going to face some more stuff, God's going to bring you through. But you know what? Like Daniel, it's exhausting. Living for God in this life is exhausting. And this morning, as we move into chapter 5, we're going to see Daniel begin to talk to God about some stuff. Every chapter, we give it a name, and the name for chapter 9 is Live a Life of purpose. God wants you to know your purpose in life. We're going to get a glimpse into Daniel's heart, and we're going to see his purpose in life. And it's very simple. You know, if you're in your 20s, early 30s, a lot of times during that season of life, you're trying to answer the question, what is my purpose? Why does God have me here? How has He gifted me? How has He not gifted me? Let me encourage you to take heart from Daniel today and next week as we peek inside of his mind and heart to discover his purpose. Because his purpose most likely would be the same as your purpose and my purpose. We can discover that. So chapter 9 and verse 1 and verse 2, we're going to talk just for a minute about purpose in life to discover your purpose. Don't just let life pass you by. Don't just let the calendar fall on the floor, but live life with purpose. Purpose. Chapter 9 and verse 1, we see that Daniel knew the times in which he lived. Look at verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, a Median descendant who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, Daniel took stock about the times in which he lived. Let me ask you a question. What decade was the decade of your 20s? Was it the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s? Let me ask you this question. Is this decade different than that decade of your 20s? Has life changed from then till now? So if I'm going to discover my purpose, God, why do you have me living in this decade? I've got to understand the times in which I live. What's going on in the world? What's going on in the human race? Think about the times in which we live. Daniel understood. This is the time that I did this. And then in verse 2, it says there that he observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely what? 70 years. Daniel also understood the condition of his culture. Daniel knew that his people had been spread to the four corners of the earth, and that they were in a state of disrepair. But he knew it was coming to a close, that God was going to start bringing his people back to the land. So Daniel not only stood the culture, the times in which he lived, but he understood the condition of his culture. Are you a student of your generation? Do you know what your culture is like? Do you have your thumbprint? Do you have your finger in the culture? Do you know what's going on? Because if I want to live with purpose, I need to understand the times in which I live. And I need to understand the culture in which God has placed me. Because so many times when I talk about purpose or when I think about purpose, I automatically think about me. And I think about, well, God, how are you going to use me? How have you gifted me? What's my purpose? What's my fulfillment going to be in this place? And we're going to come to discover that purpose isn't about me. Purpose is about others. That the purpose for which God has me living and breathing in this time and within this culture is about others more than it is about me. We see this in Daniel. We're going to find in this chapter probably the most famous prayer of Daniel. Daniel's going to open up his chest and show us his heart through a prayer that he prays. And it's going to reveal some things that we would have never discovered otherwise. He's going to pray like we've never heard him pray before. Because he is desperate for God to do something in his time and within his culture. So he's going to ask God for some stuff. You know, what we learn about Daniel is that he discovers the code, the 70 years. We'll talk about that in just a minute. The 70 years that Israel was kicked off their land is coming to an end. And Daniel says, God, it's coming to an end. And he's going to start pleading with God to restore the people. He's going to start begging God to be merciful and to bring the people back on the land. Because he knows his purpose. He knows his purpose. Daniel's life purpose is simple. It's twofold. Number one, have an authentic relationship with God. If there's nothing else we learn about Daniel, it's that he had an authentic relationship with God. And we're going to see this morning the intensity of his prayer reveals to us an authentic relationship with God. And second of all, Daniel had a meaningful impact on the people around you. Now, you know what? These two elements are the same for us. It's very simple. Didn't Jesus tell us this? I mean, the greatest commandment is love who? Let's say it together. Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your strength, all your mind. That is an authentic relationship with God. Love God with everything you got. And two, love your neighbor what? As yourself. Make an impact on your culture. My purpose in life is not my personal fulfillment. The purpose of my life is to have an authentic relationship with Him and have a genuine impact on the people around me. That's Daniel's purpose. That's our purpose as well. So, what do we learn about Daniel? Well, Daniel also proposed that he was going to be a prayer. You know, in our Bible study that we're doing on Wednesday nights, the curriculum that we're going through has just pounded this idea into the guys' heads. That talking about purpose in life, and this is what we've been going over every week almost in our Bible study. God intends for men to create and cultivate socially and spiritually healthy people and places. In other words, God never intended men to be consumers of their culture. God intended men to be influencers. The word create means to initiate. And God intends for guys to create and initiate socially and spiritually healthy people and places. The places that I live my life, in my home, in my workplace, in my neighborhood, with my friends, in the places that I live my life, am I just a consumer or do I actually initiate socially and spiritually healthy places and people? That's what we've been talking about, and that's Daniel's idea. Have a meaningful impact on the people around you. God intends for all of us, not just men, to create and cultivate socially and spiritually healthy people and places. Daniel got this. And then he tells us there in verse 2 that he got a letter from Jeremiah. And the letter from Jeremiah is declaring that 70 years God has ordained for the people to be off the land, and now they're going to come back. So let's look at this. He says there in verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of years which were revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Now, if we go back in history and we talk about a 70-year exile, we have to ask the question, well, when does the 70 years start? What's the kickoff event? And we're not exactly sure. Because when Israel went into captivity, it actually happened in three phases. And this is going to be important for Daniel's prayer. We can see that the first deportation was in 605 BC, which when Daniel was taken to Babylon. And so if you take 605 BC and you minus 70 years, it brings you to 535 BC. So possibly the end of the 70 years is 535 BC. The second deportation was in 597. You minus 70 years, and that's 527 BC. Or the third deportation where Jeremiah was actually taken out was 586 BC. So the third option is 516 BC. Does that make sense? Did I confuse you right there? Now, so the 70 years is going to end either in 535, 527, or 516, depending upon when God said the kickoff date was. Now, what we do know is in verse 1, when it says the first year of Darius, that we know that year is 538. So Daniel is praying in 538 BC, because Daniel knows that very possibly the 70 years is going to end in 3 years. He's been living through the whole exile for 67 years. Daniel turned 80 a couple of years ago. And he's looking now at the 70 years and he's thinking, wow, this could be over in as little as 3 years. It might be another 8 years after that, or it might be another 15, 10 years after that, 20 years after that. But God could be restoring us in as little as 3 years. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that God would have mercy and bring us back to the land. And the prayer that Daniel prays is so heart-wrenching. Because it is so intense. Have you ever had that intense talk with God? Where you are just begging Him. You are just pleading with Him to do something. That's the kind of prayer that Daniel's going to initiate. Because he knows, wow, it could be as little as 3 years away. 3 years away. So, Daniel, his purpose is to discover his purpose. Have an authentic relationship with God. Make an impact on people around you. The second purpose in Daniel's life, or the second idea, is purpose to be a person who authentically prays. Now, I want to talk about that with you this week and next week. The last couple of years, I don't know, God has challenged me so much about my own prayer life. I have asked God to help me be a better prayer. And sometimes being a better prayer is getting more intense with God, to drawing close to Him. I mean, all of us pray at times. We pray maybe before a meal, or we pray on the way to work, or we pray before we go to bed. And most of those prayers aren't necessarily described by the word intense until you really get in trouble, right? Well, Daniel's going to have an authentic prayer. And I want us to see there are three key elements to authentic praying. And maybe we can learn something from Daniel. As he introduces the first part of this prayer to us, he tells us some very specific things. And it gives us three characteristics of authentic prayers. Number one, let's start there in verse 3. It says there in verse 3, so I gave my attention to the who? The Lord God. To seek Him. Now, what a great response. That when Daniel was beginning to realize that the 70 years was coming to an end, and they could actually start going back to the land, his first initial reaction was to give attention to the Lord. I don't know about you, but when I go through a problem, I don't usually just automatically react by going to the Lord. Do you? I have to stop myself and say, hey, before I talk to other people about my problems, I ought to talk to who? I ought to talk to the Lord about my problem, about what I'm going through, about what I need, about what I desire. And so Daniel shows us that when he is really getting on the cusp of something intense for him personally, the first place he goes is to the Lord. What a great example, isn't that? The word Lord here is the word Adonai, which means my king, my sovereign master. The first thing that Daniel realizes is that God's in control, that there are things in this world that are outside of our control, and if we're not in control of them, that means that God is in control of them. And when I go to God, when Daniel goes to God, when you go to God about things that are beyond your control, we're recognizing that God is our Adonai. He's our king. He's our sovereign master. He's over us. And that's where Daniel starts. And he says, this is so great, to seek him. Not just to pray to him, wow, but to seek his presence. What a privilege we have, not just to think that God is out there and that I'm going to speak words that will get to him, but actually God is in us and we can actually come face to face with him, seeking the person of God in prayer. Daniel says, I gave my attention to the Lord. And then in verse 3, he says, I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by what? Prayer and what? Supplication. How many of you know the word supplication? Good, some of you do. Supplication in this particular instance means to plead. It means to beg. That a prayer is a conversation that I have with God. I can tell God how great he is. That's called praise. I can tell God how wonderful he is. Supplication is, God, I need you. I am begging you to help me. I am begging you to listen to my prayer. I am pleading with you. Have you ever found yourself in that condition? You're going through something so deep, so hurtful, so overwhelming, so confusing, that man, you're just going to God and saying, God, help me understand this. Help me. I beg you to go through this, to get me through this. Prayer and supplication. He uses these words specifically because what he's about to pray is super intense. He also says there in verse 3, he says, by prayer and supplication with what? Fasting and sackcloth and what? Ashes. Wow, that is intense. This is the kind of prayer, if you pull out the fasting card, if you pull out the sackcloth and the ashes, you're getting pretty intense with God. You know, fasting is a great spiritual tool. It's a great spiritual discipline. Fasting simply means I'm going to forsake something that I need in order to go deeper with God. Most of the time, it's about food. I'm going to give up breakfast today. I'm going to deprive myself of something so that I can spend that time going deeper with God. And when I feel the hunger pains of missing the meal, it's going to remind me to pray to God about my request and my supplication. So I fast. Fast is a tool that many Christians use today still. They pick one meal a week, or they pick a day a month, or they go through a difficult season. And they decide, you know what, God, I need an answer to my career. God, I need an answer to that relationship. God, I need an answer to those finances. I need an answer to my kids. And so I'm going to crank up the intensity of my prayer life by fasting. And I'm going to give up something that I need so that I can go deeper with God. I can go deeper with God. With fasting, he says. So Daniel turned away the meals. The second thing it says is sackcloth and ashes. Sackcloth is a fabric. Sackcloth is like burlap. And sackcloth is an outfit that you wear. So what Daniel is saying is that he had an outfit made of burlap material and he put it on. Now, how comfortable would that be? Super uncomfortable. But again, the purpose was to help me focus the intensity of my prayer. And when I am uncomfortable, it reminds me to get intense with God. So Daniel had a garment made, a garment of burlap. And he went to go spend time with God. And before he did, he changed clothes and he put on a burlap outfit. Ash, what Daniel would do is he would sit down in his burlap outfit and it's uncomfortable. And he'd have bowls of fireplace ash or sometimes dirt or dust. And they would pick it up and they would throw it into the air. And they would just let it land on them. And again, it was signifying my humility before the God that I'm praying to. So by fasting and sackcloth and ashes, it wasn't a masochistic trying to get God to pay attention to me. It wasn't somehow defaming or hurting myself so that God would wake up. Do you remember when Elijah was on Mount Carmel and he was going to debate the prophets of Baal? And the prophets of Baal were calling out to Baal, trying to get Baal to bring down fire from heaven. And Elijah was over mocking him, saying, hey, well, you know, maybe he's not awake. Maybe you better scream louder. And it says that the prophets of Baal would take out their knives and they would cut their arms. They would cut their chests because they were trying to get the attention of Baal. Maybe Baal would wake up and answer their prayers. That's not what Daniel's doing. Daniel is saying, God, the 70 years is almost up, and I'm begging you for mercy for my people. And I'm just going to come completely intense and completely uncomfortable to show you the genuineness of my heart right here. Man, have you ever been that intense in prayer? Have you ever done something unusual? Have you ever changed your position? Have you ever laid down on the floor before God? Have you ever got down on your knees? Have you ever put burlap on? Or given up a meal? Or taken dust and thrown it into the air? To say, God, I'm serious. I need your help. I need your help. This is the kind of prayer, man, you'd only pray maybe 3 or 4 times your whole life. This is not the kind of stuff you do every day. I've never sat in sackcloth and ashes, but there have been probably, I could count them on one hand, the times when I felt that intensity, that there was something in my life that I was going through. It was a loss, or it was a hurt, or it was confusion, or I just needed God to give me some direction. And I remember a couple of times in my life saying, God, I'm pouring out my heart. Here it is. And I'm dead serious, God. I need you. I need you to carry me through. In this case with Daniel, God, I'm begging you, be merciful. The 70 years is almost up. So God, send us back to the land. Send us back to the land. So that's the attitude of authentic praying. Now, maybe it doesn't get that intense, but that's kind of the attitude of authentic prayer. And then he gives us 3 little simple thoughts here about how to base this prayer. Before we get into the meat of the prayer next week, let's kind of just get the 3 elements that introduce the prayer to us. In verse 4, we see that Daniel says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, alas, O Lord, alas, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. The first thing that Daniel acknowledges is God's expectations. God, you're a great God. You are awesome. And God, your loving kindness is every day. God, your wisdom, God, your covenant, you keep your promises to those, what does he say there, who love you and who obey you. Daniel knew God's expectations. See, in this particular history of Israel, God had made a covenant with the people of Israel, and we call it theologically, or in the ancient world, it was actually called the suzerain-vassal covenant. The word suzerain means king. The word vassal means servant. And in the ancient world, when a contract was made between two parties, one was the suzerain and one was the vassal. And in this case, it was about the land of Israel, and God made it very simple. I'm going to give you this land. It's my holy land. I'm giving to the people of Israel forever. But here's the condition. If you blow it and you leave me, I'm going to kick you off the land until you repent, and then I'll bring you back on the land. I'm not going to give the land to someone else. I'll bring you back on the land. And for 490 years, Israel turned their back on God. For 490 years, God waited and said, you know what, Israel? You better turn back to me. And he would send prophet after prophet after prophet. God waited for 490 years, and finally God said, that's it. You have broken the suzerain-vassal covenant, and now you're off the land for 70 years. And those 70 years was a very strategic number because of what they had done during the 490 years, and God took them off the land. So Daniel knew God's expectations. See, we know what God expects of us, don't we? What is it? Have an authentic relationship with Him and make a positive impact on the people around you. And when we decide in our life not to do that, we forfeit the blessings of God. Now, in our life, we don't get physical blessings. We get spiritual blessings. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. When I decide I'm not going to live in a way that honors God, or I'm not going to be a positive impact on the people around me, I lose my joy. I lose my love. I don't feel it anymore. I don't sense it. Daniel knew the expectations that God had. Hey, God made it very simple. I'm going to do so much for you if you'll just follow and obey me. I know what's best for you. Then he also says there in verse 5, we, notice the word we. That's an important word because Daniel wasn't part of the 490 years of disobedience, but he was caught up into captivity. And so he joins in and he says in verse 5, we have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. You can't get any worse than that, right? Look at the words that he uses there. Sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, rebelled, turned aside. Wow. That pretty much encompasses anything. Turn to your neighbor and say, I see you're described in there. That's your life right there. What is Daniel doing? Daniel is acknowledging Israel's failures. If I want to have an authentic relationship with God, I have to be honest enough to acknowledge my failures. I have to be honest enough to acknowledge my family's failures. If I want to have an authentic relationship with God, Daniel acknowledges his people's failures. And he covered it pretty succinctly and pretty comprehensively. And then look there in verse 6. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets. Remember, God, for 490 years, prophet after prophet after prophet. We did not listen to them who spoke in your name. Now watch this. This is so important. They spoke in your name to our what? Kings, to the government. The prophets told our government, you're going down the wrong path and you're taking the people down the wrong path. So the government was accountable. He says there, not only to our kings, but to our who? Our princes, our local officials. The prophets not only talk to the government, but they talk to the local officials. And then he says there in verse 6, to our fathers, to the clan leaders, to the heads of families. The prophets told them, look, you better be careful. And then finally, at the end of verse 6, it says, and all the people of the land. So in other words, the prophets spoke to everyone. They spoke to the government. The prophets warned the local officials. The prophets warned the family leaders. And the prophets spoke publicly. So therefore, everyone is accountable. Everyone's accountable. So Daniel is going to pray this prayer. We're going to see the meat of it next week. But right out the gate, he acknowledges God's expectations. He acknowledges his people's failures. And he acknowledges that we all knew better and we shouldn't have done it. And I just want to encourage you, as we talk about prayer this week and next week, as we seek God in our daily lives, do we recognize his expectations? Do we acknowledge our failures? And do we acknowledge our accountability to him? Because we live in a culture that is trying to whitewash expectations, that is trying to pass off failures to other people's responsibility, and pass off accountability to others. And if we really want God to do wonderful things in our lives in the darkest of moments, we've got to have an authentic relationship with him. So that's where we're going. It's going to be a great study next week. Go ahead and read the rest of Daniel chapter 9 if you want to, because some things there are going to really shake us a little bit and hopefully change our prayer lives forever.